Progress check 2, exercise 4, page 121. You'll hear an interview with a man called Michael Frank, who runs a museum. For questions 1 to 10, complete the sentences. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 2.
For many of us, there is nothing more relaxing than admiring beautiful works of art in a museum or gallery. Far fewer people would choose to spend a day looking at bad art. Michael Frank, the founder of the Museum of Bad Art in Boston, hopes to change our minds. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How did you come up with the idea for a museum of bad art?
Well, one morning, I spotted a painting in a rubbish bin outside my home. At that time, I was an antique dealer, so I was always on the lookout for nice pieces of art. That painting, however, was awful. But Lucy in the Field with Flowers, as I have since called it, inspired me to open the museum.
How did you go about collecting the other pieces of bad art in the museum?
All in all, it took about a year and a half to gather the collection. My co-founder, Louise Riley, and I looked in dustbins, charity shops, and dusty attics all over the USA. We even had some paintings sent to us from Japan. By 1994, we had gathered the biggest collection of bad art in the world.
And how did you decide on a location for the museum?
At first, we looked for a location in Boston's city centre, but we soon realized we couldn't afford the rent we were being asked. In fact, we had very little money. So, eventually, I found a cheap space in the basement of a cinema in the Dedham suburb of South Boston. We held our first exhibition there in March 1995.
I see. But what exactly is bad art? For example, will you find drawings from 5-year-olds in the museum?
No. You won't find kids' fridge drawings or ugly images from advertisements or travel brochures. Basically, all of the pieces on display in the museum were created by adults or teenagers who were seriously trying to make art. The problem is, most of us can't paint or draw very well. So, most of the artists on show are people who had far more emotion than they had skill.
Okay. And what are visitors' reactions when they walk around the museum? Do you get a lot of people laughing at what they see?
Surprisingly, very few do. And we don't encourage it either. I think that a lot of our visitors relate to the artists on show. At some stage, we have all tried to write a poem or draw a picture and failed terribly. But that doesn't mean we didn't have the same emotions that the great artists felt. That's why I opened the museum, to celebrate artistic people who could never be artists.
And has the museum been a success?
I think so. We only get around 120 visitors to the museum a week, but our webpage, which displays a selection of our collection, has become very popular. We receive around 20,000 hits a month. We've also brought out a book with pictures of 70 of the museum's more popular works, along with reviews, written by me, of each picture.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be interested in paying your museum a visit soon, Michael. Is there an entrance fee?
Admission is $3 for adults, and it's free for students.
Thanks for coming in, Michael.
My pleasure.
Now you'll hear part two again.
For many of us, there is nothing more relaxing than admiring beautiful works of art in a museum or gallery. Far fewer people would choose to spend a day looking at bad art. Michael Frank, the founder of the Museum of Bad Art in Boston, hopes to change our minds. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How did you come up with the idea for a museum of bad art?
Well, one morning, I spotted a painting in a rubbish bin outside my home. At that time, I was an antique dealer, so I was always on the lookout for nice pieces of art. That painting, however, was awful. But Lucy in the Field with Flowers, as I have since called it, inspired me to open the museum.
How did you go about collecting the other pieces of bad art in the museum?
All in all, it took about a year and a half to gather the collection. My co-founder, Louise Riley, and I looked in dustbins, charity shops, and dusty attics all over the USA. We even had some paintings sent to us from Japan. By 1994, we had gathered the biggest collection of bad art in the world.
And how did you decide on a location for the museum?
At first, we looked for a location in Boston's city centre, but we soon realized we couldn't afford the rent we were being asked. In fact, we had very little money. So, eventually, I found a cheap space in the basement of a cinema in the Dedham suburb of South Boston. We held our first exhibition there in March 1995.
I see. But what exactly is bad art? For example, will you find drawings from 5-year-olds in the museum?
No. You won't find kids' fridge drawings or ugly images from advertisements or travel brochures. Basically, all of the pieces on display in the museum were created by adults or teenagers who were seriously trying to make art. The problem is, most of us can't paint or draw very well. So, most of the artists on show are people who had far more emotion than they had skill.
Okay. And what are visitors' reactions when they walk around the museum? Do you get a lot of people laughing at what they see?
Surprisingly, very few do. And we don't encourage it either. I think that a lot of our visitors relate to the artists on show. At some stage, we have all tried to write a poem or draw a picture and failed terribly. But that doesn't mean we didn't have the same emotions that the great artists felt. That's why I opened the museum, to celebrate artistic people who could never be artists.
And has the museum been a success?
I think so. We only get around 120 visitors to the museum a week, but our webpage, which displays a selection of our collection, has become very popular. We receive around 20,000 hits a month. We've also brought out a book with pictures of 70 of the museum's more popular works, along with reviews, written by me, of each picture.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be interested in paying your museum a visit soon, Michael. Is there an entrance fee?
Admission is $3 for adults, and it's free for students.
Thanks for coming in, Michael.
My pleasure.
That is the end of part 2.